cliffcentral.com.
Well, hello, hello, hello there. Of course, those Tibetan singing bowls means that it's time for Beyond Ears and Eyes here on Cliff Central. I'm Liesl Tom. Good to be with you. In studio with us, controlling Palesa Mabuye. And then, of course, as always, Shemaine.
The loudmouth. Hello. Glad to be here, as always. And it's so great that you've taken the time to join us. Hope you're going to listen to the podcast again and again, because I think Marietta is going to give us some information. Oh, there we go. I said Marietta, and I did not even say who's in studio. So we've got the very well-known Marietta Tiennyson in studio with us on Cliff Central on Beyond Ears and Eyes. So, Marietta, very welcome.
I'm very glad to be here. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. So it's not like this is a foreign world to you.
No, it's very much. I love this world.
So you're comfortable sitting yes. here with us.
Yes, I am.
We met one another years ago on Die Anerkant.
Die Anerkant van Hiddekant.
Yes. And it was, you know, it's channeling. One of the things because you have different disciplines that you work in or modalities. Which one do you prefer?
It doesn't matter. It's just a word.
There you go. See, it's already starting. The wisdom is starting to pop out. So, that was how many years ago on Die Anerkant? And people just basically wanted to know about granny and grandma and dad and all that. And that is partly why we got you on the show, because we want to hear about that world. Today, though, Lee, we're not doing how's grandma doing or how's granddad doing. Unless Marietta's got something.
Unless grandma comes through and pats you on the shoulder and says, right now.
Yeah.
No, I think today what we're going to talk about is the difference between channeling, a medium, being a psychic, and then also, you know, your life
as your
someone who is in touch with the other side.
Mm-hmm.
So let's jump into it. What's the difference between a medium and a psychic? And a channel, do you call it a channeler, a channel?
No, actually, the channeling is part of everything, because it's basically being tuned into a different space or getting the inspiration from a different space than the known world. And even from this world, I easily get channelings, because I'm in touch with plants and animals and trees, and everything that has energy can basically be, I'm a recipient to any energies that are around us, not even when I look at the other side of the Anerkant, like we call it. That is mediumship. To actually tap and channel people that have moved on is part of mediumship, which I cancelled out a bit, because it has a lot to do with clear audience, which is the hearing. When I started in 19 or 20 years ago with the Van Rooyen case, I actually prayed the hearing away, because I would wake up in the middle of the night and talk in different languages and talk in different, you know, and scream because of the children being abused and misused. And I actually prayed it away, because I couldn't sleep anymore. So I superseded in 1994 the mediumship with clairvoyance. In other words, I moved into wanting to see and also feel, which is the psychicness. And the feeling has become stronger and stronger. And in fact, it's very often a difficult part of myself and of living in a normal world, because you're spaced out most of the time. You tap into everybody's feelings. I'm a sponge to everybody's emotions. When I speak to somebody on the phone, I know exactly what's going on. It's a different way of life. So the channeling takes place at all times, because one either has these receptions like channels, like Cliff Central is a channel, but I tap into all kinds of radio stations at the same time, and that is all channeling.
You have said so many things that I had like about 10 questions, and I'm trying to not stop you, because everything you said was so interesting. But okay, I want to go back to where you started with the Van Rooyen case, where you said you didn't want to hear, you'd rather now, you know, you'd see or sense. Mm. So aren't they both equally intense? Or what makes the one easier to handle than the other one?
The mediumship I wasn't in control of.
You mean in the beginning?
Where the clairvoyance, I could take a step back. So you can see, so I put myself into the murderer's shoes or into the victim's shoes at choice. Where with the mediumship, you wake up and you're suddenly in sweat and you have the experience of a victim or of the murderer and you actually are in shock.
How is it that you can get those experiences, but generally we don't as humans get those kind of experiences?
You know, in a way, it's like a talent. If you're a good sport person and you practice well enough, you become a perfect sport person. You become good at your game. Where I am maybe a natural psychic clairvoyant, because I can remember from the age of two, I know that I had nappies on, so that was just before I was two, that I see dead people, you know.
So, cue the music.
So it was a matter of, I was born with this gift, in a way a gift or a curse. You can call it both ways, because it's both. Mm-hmm. It's a gift and a curse, because it has become a calling very early in my life, and a calling is not to be taken lightly. So I burdened myself in a lot of ways with a calling that wasn't really run-of-the-mill career, wasn't run-of-the-mill anything. Mm-hmm. And way before my time, because I mean, when I as a child saw things looking out of the window or experiencing fairies and gnomes, which I do, by the way, mm-hmm. it wasn't my imagination. It was something that was real for me. And luckily, my parents didn't completely suppress it, but my parents would say, you're just not normal. So I had this imprint of being not normal, which was quite a thing for me. And it has also been something for my younger daughter, that she tried to be so hard to be normal, which is a curse. Mm. Because in the end, you don't fit into any group. You choose friends either wisely or very reluctantly. And when you choose them, you still get stuffed over if you're not careful, because you're so trusting or you're so open, or you're not part of the normal run-of-the-mill people. You're not, and you can't be. And you cannot experience the world like typical intellects do, because you're living from a kinesthetic, from a feeling point of view, all together, all the time, at all times, with all senses. And then still having a practical life. Luckily, I was a single mom my whole life and I had to bring up two kids, so I couldn't drift off with the bloody fairies because I had to earn the money for each end of the month, and I had to deal with children that were going through puberty and all kinds of stuff.
Normal, everyday life as a woman,
and
so
I became very practical. But also today, my channeling has become much more wiser, because there's nothing in life that I didn't experience, from abuse to, you know, all kinds of things that women experience. I had it all in a negative way, if you want to call it negative. But when you look at it from where I'm now, I'm glad that I'm now over 60. I've experienced all of this. I can look forward to, say, the next 10, 20 whatever years, and I can look back and say, this has made me so strong, so wise, so experienced. Life was such a big adventure, and at a certain time of one's life, one is so solidly within yourself that to hell with everybody else. I do what I do, and I love it. You know, you either live your passion or you die. So, yeah, it's all in all that I believe that if you plug into the light in any way of dealing with life and living life, you're close to God, and God is love, and love is God. You know, it's just that. And maybe that's what the channeling also is for me today, that I give people hope. I see the way they go. I see their life path that they choose, and I can show them another one. So whether it's with my psychicness, I use the psychicness, the clairvoyance, the clairsentient, which is also the psychicness, the clairaudience, the hearing. I use all senses. Like this morning, I nearly threw up because a lady came in and her brother is a full alcoholic and his liver is done. So I wanted to just throw up. And I know then that that is my psychicness, unfortunately, because I feel everything. And I'm a medical clairvoyant, so I pick up very quickly what is wrong with people. I use all senses to read a person within an hour, or when I have an audience, like you know, I tap very quickly into their life story. It's like paging through a book of 500 pages of their life, and I just pick up what is important and have that important message for someone. So for me, channeling is nothing like that, but it's just an extra gift, an extra talent, and I use more of the brain than the normal person does, because I use the creative side of the brain much more than the intellectual side. So for me, who has written this song? Was it Beethoven? Was it Brahms? I couldn't be bothered who it was. I just love it. Don't give me names and figures and stuff, because it's not of importance. It just takes me out of my senses to my head, where most of the people live, and it has no pleasure to live in the head, because it's ego-based. Information or knowledge is not really important. Our experiences bring us wisdom. It's very different to knowledge.
Your childhood must have been very lonely, because nowadays we are aware that there are people who have this natural ability, and we'll get to how us mere mortals can learn how to unlock our own psychic abilities. But in those days, before social media, before this was considered normal, you as a child with that gift, and you called it a curse, that must have been very difficult for you.
It was, because unfortunately my parents put me into a convent. So I was badly abused in a convent, because somehow the nuns figured out that I was somewhere else and that I was seeing things. And I was badly abused. So it wasn't a very empowering process, but in fact a very... And I wouldn't talk at home, because I thought my mother gives me another hiding if I tell her that I've been naughty. Yeah. And luckily in the end I was expelled, you know, so that was great. That was just the best thing that could have happened to me, because I also had to experience the fact that religion isn't safe. And nuns are not just good people. Mm-hmm. And luckily, I always had an angel somewhere, because even in the convent, there was one nun that was absolutely my angel. And I met her just before she passed on, years after I had been out of school. So my childhood was, but I had a few very good friends, and one friend that I still have now after over 45 years, she said a year ago to me, you know what, you were pretty normal. And I said to her, thank you for that compliment, because we played like other kids play. She just knew that I had this weird and wonderful imagination. She would say, tell me another story, what you see. So she saw it differently. And she would tell her mum about the stuff that I told her. And they loved it. They just took it as, I have a good imagination, you know. And when I saw their loved ones that had passed away, or a child that was around because there was an accident the day before, they took it for granted that this was for real. There was nobody judging me, because everybody knew that this is happening. You know, clairvoyance and clairaudience or psychicness isn't from just 100 years ago. It's been there for ages and ages. You know, it's been always there. But yes, they burned the witches on the stake, and I'm quite sure, and I know that I've been burned many times, because the wild woman won't accept it, you know.
So are you saying that this is your umpteenth time, what, I don't know how many, as a clairvoyant or a psychic? Or
Can I just jump in there?
This
is very interesting. Do you think this gift is something that the soul carries through the different lives?
Yeah, I'm just good at it. So, yes, it always had its meaning why I had to have it. And I believe in this lifetime that I have to work off a lot of karma, or family karma, because I have had generations of my mum's side. They all committed suicide. So, obviously, there's a lot of karma to be worked off here. And in serving people, you do that.
Okay, because I'm just thinking, how can you do it? You know, I mean, because my actions, certainly it affects you, but, you know, it's not like you can do anything about it.
No, you can. If you today, for your child, which you have, start changing your behavior patterns that you've taken on very often from your mother or your grandmother, and you change that around and you bring up your children in a different way, you change generations thereafter. Because you're more conscious, you're more aware, you know what your mistakes were or what your previous generation's behavior patterns were, and you change them. With that, you change a whole generation.
Amazing. So you this is not nothing to do with our conversation at all, but you earlier mentioned that you would have stories of it. You'd see a child that was, you know, that died yesterday and so on. So how long? I thought the spirit takes a while before it shows you, hey, I'm good. I thought it's just humans take longer than animals. I know that apparently animals can do that instantaneously, but humans take a while.
That's just bullshit.
Really? All right. So break it down to us. Is it the type of person? So when can you come out and say, listen, I'm not stuck, or listen, I'm ready to
immediately.
Go?
Immediately. Sometimes it's a bit difficult because somebody has been, for instance, if somebody passed on with severe cancer, they might be still a bit drowsy because of the morphine or medication. But for me, it's no problem whatsoever.
Are you saying that physical medication has an impact on the soul?
Shortly thereafter, yes.
Oh, wow.
So they come through like they're in space, and they show me how dense they are because of chemicals.
Okay.
So in the end, the soul needs to first rid itself of this heaviness of chemicals, because it's not the way the soul wants to go. The soul would love to go in a gentle way, with gentle medicines, with no harsh no harsh invasion. So even an accident or something like that can still impact on the soul because it's a shock. So
why sometimes you hear them say, but you know, I went there and you know it was house to let, because you know that purgatory thing that the church talks about. I know you have really bad experiences with the Catholic Church, that they did teach
fine.
That you would that you can get stuck between.
Yes, you
lives.
Can, especially when you commit suicide. But otherwise, you don't get stuck between lives. You don't, unless you're really a non-believer as well. It's easier for believers to move over quicker because they know what to expect and where they're going. And even if they believe they will meet Jesus, that's what they will believe, what they believe they will meet, because that's what we are out there to do. If you want to meet your mother in the afterlife first, you will first see your mother, because you have your dream world come true first of all before you go into the other levels. Yeah, you do.
So shall we walk on to the channeling thing? You just started touching on, because you know that. So maybe we can, you can explain to us how many or what different types there are of channeling. You know, the various forms.
Okay, I wouldn't be able to put it into intellectual terms, because for me it's swifting or moving from one into the next very naturally. It's like, you know, it's not like, when I've written my book, it was never about I'm going to do this chapter and that chapter. I just spit out the book, because it was a complete channeling of the experiences that I had. It took, and every writer will say to you, the book takes on its own life. So it's a channeling
process.
In any way, a channeling process. So that's already a channeling process. Any creativity in the end is a channeling process. When you have these inspirations, what to ask or what to say, it's not because you're really into your intellect. You will in the end build up your intuition. Your intuition will guide you to what is correct, who to phone, who not to phone. When you think of your friend and your friend phones an hour later, that's channeling, that's guidance, that's intuition, that's the connection that you have via energy. So channeling is an energy flow.
How come some of us can and some of us?
Because some people are so strongly in their ego, in their intellect, what they believe is right and wrong from their perspective, that they actually block everything else out because they need to be this person, because they believe that they are this human being instead of being a soul in a human body.
Okay.
That the human body has no relevance after this lifetime, really. And that spirit lives forever, is eternal, like love is eternal. And that when we need to know something, we know it. And very often the best channelers, or the people that are also met overseas, are very simple people, but they're very open to channeling because they were never actually interfered with any kind of knowledge or scientific facts or any kind of facts, because we don't need facts for channeling.
Now, when you talk about channeling, and this might be a really daft question,
But is it that you were talking about plants earlier? You said you could channel plants. Is it that the plant's energy is taking over your body, or if you channel someone on the other side, do they take? How does it work? Do they step in? Tell me.
The plant, for instance, everything has a spirit. Mm. So the plant, the tree, a grass, just a grass, it has spirit. And on top of that spirit is a nature spirit. So it is ecology that moves from one fine level into the next. And you get that information just flows in because you are open to divine energies. Those are all divine energies. They all have spirit. So it's not a matter of, but when I do mediumship or I am a psychic, I take on your illness to know what is happening in your body for a short while, or I take on all your troubles to purify them, to transform them with them in a reading so that you can walk out free. That is when you take it on. And that can be a curse because you never know where you stop and somebody else begins. And I have severe problems in my life with boundaries because I so easily give. And I'm a typical rescuer, which is, of course, and I needed to learn a lot about not being a sacrificial lamb, that we're not living in the Piscean age anymore where we hold all hands together and then we drown all happily ever after, you know. So it's not working like that again, that we need to be unique. We need to allow other people and trust other people to live their own life and not interfere. Mm. So when I even channel or I have a message for you, I would never come to you and just say, I have a message for you. I would really ask whether I may give you the message, because I want to respect people and I want to be respected. So that's off the theme here. But it's...
How do you clear yourself of other people's stuff?
I don't always do that because I live with it. So even when I go to bed, I will think of my partner's, my husband's son or something, and then I start going into that whole space. So I constantly live actually in my mind and other people's lives, or I try and figure out their problems, or I wake up and I have a weird dream because I've been in somebody's space that is not congruent to my space, or there's a lot of problems. So you pick it up. You pick it up like dust in the air. I burn a lot of incense. I burn always candles. I buy pick and pay candles for Africa. I mean, I always burn them. I am very aware in the mornings to actually, or in the evenings, to lie on the grass or to step onto the wet lawn or to have a good meal. That cleanses very often and grounds me. To have enough water, to see that, which I've never done, have enough sleep, or, you know, you cleared. Also, even by having just a shower and being aware that you actually cleanse your aura as well. So it's very simple techniques. Nothing, again, eerie fairy, just logical. I know which crystals help me at what time, so I buy certain crystals. When I see a crystal that's really for me, I will take it, because even a crystal, you channel much clearer, much faster, much more solid. With a crystal, for instance, although I use nothing for my channeling because I'm just good at it, you can channel even by throwing, like a kid, I threw millipeter, you know, I just threw those, or stones. You don't have to really use bones. You can see a pattern in any pattern. It's a matter of getting good at something and trusting your gut feeling.
You mentioned earlier also about when you have been in some other people's spaces without you wanting to go there. I don't quite get that, but what I do want to ask is how can one then stop that? Because for me, that's kind of like you on a walkabout. And I know that's, you know, and if you come into my world, how do I then stop that? To say like somebody can't get information or they can't come in.
You can't.
Can't you?
No. Well,
you can't block somebody, because for me, that would be transgression. It's kind of like you're opening my door and I'm not giving you permission.
And
to
that's
come
what
into
I'm saying.
Door.
I don't do that easily. So when people say to me, well, I would like to know about my grandmother, I actually first go step back. And I think, no, wait a bit. I need to guard my own energies. It's not about getting into your space, because that's not a problem.
Yeah, but they give you permission when they ask.
Yeah, they give. But if you... And that's what I always say. I don't go into your house and start muddling with your underwear. I don't do that. Right. So I step away very often, and I choose the people that I mix with, because I either have very trusted friends and I have a very close circle, because the rest, I'm really not interested in having everybody's life in my life.
Okay.
So it's quite difficult. That's why... when somebody asks me, just have a look for my brother or just have a look for my kid, and I'm just finished with a day's work, I say, halt. I'm not here on constant tap. You know, I don't want to be, because it's for me heavy to feel other people's problems.
It's a bit disrespectful to go up to someone with your gift and say, do this for me.
No,
please,
it's
isn't
not.
It? Because, no. What I mean is, if you go to a party and there's a doctor,
exactly.
You don't just go to that doctor and say, you know, I have these symptoms, blah, blah, what's wrong with me?
Look
because
at my teeth, please.
It's disrespectful. I feel it's a bit disrespectful.
You know,
disrespectful.
People are very selfish. People are all about themselves. When they meet somebody that can see, that's still a weird thing. And I've learned to say, forgive them, because they don't know what they're doing, because they have no clue how draining this work is. They think it just pops into your mind and then you run about and, you know, you shake it off. It's not like how it works. So people with the gift of channeling, or really that use a gift, like people as well, like Marianne Williamson, or, you know, really good, well-known clairvoyant psychics, they carry the dark side as well. They have very much experiences of depression as well, depression and really deep, dark stuff, because they deal with it, especially as a medium. I mean, there wasn't a missed child that I didn't work on in, you know, till 2000, maybe 2000. Even when we started the Anakant, I worked on the Matthew's child. The missing girls and the missing children. It's a very dark world, and it's not fun. So, yes, people come and ask you because they're desperate.
What do you do when you misinterpret or get signals wrong, information?
Does that ever happen?
Very seldom. I had one case where I worked with Felicia Mabuta-Sattel on a radio show, and she called me in and I saw the child on the bed jumping up and down with her parents, and I thought this child was still alive. And they said, that is our child, but I didn't know that it was dead. So I misinterpreted the dead, because for me it's not dead, it's still alive, but I misinterpreted what they asked me, and... which is maybe besides the point, but Felicia wasn't a very organized person, and everything was late and everything was chaos. So in the end, that disturbed my energies as well, and I misinterpreted. Or when I misinterpret for somebody, you still have a lot of choices. So I can lead you to the water in the end, whether you drink or not is your choice. So I'm not really responsible. I can only give you what comes through. And with time, I've learned that people say I'm actually 94-98% correct. So I've learned that also after doing 85 productions of TV, because I had my own TV show in 2012. So practice makes perfect, but of course human error comes in. And it depends also on what state you are. I'm sure that when my dad died 3 months ago, when I did a channeling thereafter, it wasn't as precise as it would be when I have no own trouble, you know, own problems or own loss, or 33 hours of no sleep, which I had by flying to New Zealand. Of course, then you can make a mistake. But that's human error.
You know, when you started off, you said this gift is like, say, an athlete who has a natural ability. Now, if an athlete doesn't sleep, eat well, take care of themselves.
Very true.
Or overtrain. I mean, could it be that, you know, there are times when you've used your ability so much that you just become depleted?
Burned out. I've burned out a lot of times. I mean, I collapsed at the age of 35 with ME, with yuppie flu and fibromyalgia. I have that every time and time, and you know, because every person is different. So sometimes I overuse the energies, and then in the evenings I say to Roy, you know, I cannot, don't touch me. I fibromyalgia is. Then I know that I need to take care and need to sleep well, or I need to eat well. So I know how to take care more of myself now than 10 years ago, where I just used to, whenever I felt good, I would take in 3 more clients. Mm-hmm. I would just run with it and completely burn out. So I've burned out a lot. But never to the extent that I landed in hospital, because that's not what I could afford. I had to work. So I had to be practical about it. And I knew then that if I really have a bad day, I can count on my one hand when I cancel clients for a day. You know, and then I would go into the botanical gardens, or we live now in a estate that is very natural growth, and that I need that. I need nature. I need sunlight. I need good food. I know what I need.
Marietta, earlier you also spoke about this was now off air, when you had channeled, but you were practically asleep. How does that work? And then what kind of information comes out?
Who, I don't know.
And is it correct?
Yes. So whenever I checked afterwards, or I taped myself mm-hmm. in 1994 when I was doing these medical, or even I did a lot of readings in the evenings then, which I don't do anymore because I then fall asleep. I give this whole reading whilst I'm asleep. And it frightens me because I don't have control. I don't hear myself talking, because a channeling is not me. Mm-hmm. I hear myself often saying things, and then I think, wow, this is wisdom from above. Let me write this down, you know, because it's so important. But when I fall asleep, like Edgar Cayce, and I gave my healings and my readings, well, they made pretty much sense. So it's pure channeling. I'm just an instrument. It's not me. I'm just an instrument. I'm just this body that needs the voice to transfer this information.
How can we learn to channel?
Well, we just finished yesterday a workshop where I teach people to read auras and then to channel with jewelry, which is called psychometry. Mm-hmm. So you use either a piece of paper with writing, or you use jewelry, which I did 40 years ago. I started channeling my grandmother, etc., and I moved by accident into past lifetimes. But with jewelry, you get the energy of another person, especially with a watch. So that's why one also cleanses jewelry after somebody passed on, because you're so much still in touch with the soul that passed on. And with that, with something in your hands, or with tarot cards, I do online courses now with numerology, tarot, reading of the auras, etc., because those are dream interpretation. Those are the things how you can teach yourself to channel, or to get in touch with a system via a system into channeling, so that you first used a module, like you called it as well, like the tarot cards, or any cards for that matter. If you're a real gypsy, I throw out any cards and you read the cards, because you use something as a concentration, point of concentration, and then you get the pictures, or you hear, or you feel, or you know. And then you start channeling, and then you become better and better. It's a matter of some people will have interest in, and those are the people that most probably are supposed to be using more their intuition, their creativity. And there are the people that are scientists or pure scientists. They will not want to know about this because they're dead scared of the unknown. So they want to have their facts and figures, because they don't even believe in God, because he's, you know, you can't prove him. So I had those people as well. And do I want to convince them of anything? No, definitely not. They can go their own way. If they're happy, I'm happy, you know. Not really concerned.
Do you get visions of the future? Do you predict the future?
Yeah, I do, most of the time. In every reading, I go into the future. That's what I do. So I take them to the point of here and now, and then I show them the next, sometimes 3, 4, 5, sometimes 10 years forward, to actually show them that it goes on. Or when I see a warning for a child that drinks and drives, I will say, when I get a warning of there could be a death. Can I prevent a death? Maybe not. But when do we know when the hourglass is finished, you know? Mm-hmm. So yes, mostly into the future. I don't go into past a lot, because the past we change only by the way that we think about it. The future, yes, very much, because people come to me, especially businessmen, and they want to know, where do I take my business?
Can you change your mind after you've given the reading to say, okay, in 3 months there's that and the other's going to happen?
You can do that.
Yes, that's what I mean. Can the person who does gets the reading?
Yeah, of course. You have choice to change. It's your full responsibility. You know, where I try and delete the reading as soon as you walk out, I actually forget about it. If you see you in the street again, I won't remember what was your story, or Susie is your daughter, or whatever.
And can you? Now, I'm asking you this because I have, over the years, met many people who are psychic, but their own lives are in shambles. Can you predict your own future? And do you?
I've seen many things, and especially relationships was my downfall. And I would see myself as a bride, and I turn around and I have a skull as a face. Mm. I knew how that marriage would end, and it was really horrific. So, yes, but I still do believe that I had to go through those experiences to now, when a woman comes into my door today and she's been through a horrific abusive relationship, I mean, it gives me goose flesh, and I know exactly in what space she is and where she is psychologically as a victim in that process and how to help somebody. So I believe that I needed to have all these experiences, otherwise I wouldn't know how to help. Because if you never had spinach, how do you know how it tastes?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's,
or
it's
how
the
it
experience.
Makes you feel. Mm. So still, you said you use that thing with jewelry and paper and so on to channel. So what would I do if I've got my little trinkets on my arm? What would I do to get information? So if I give you this,
yes.
What would you do? How would you connect with it?
First of all, what you can do is also meditation is a very good way of getting out of your head into a space of stillness and peace. So by even just focusing on your breath, you would get into a different space that you would actually be in the body, or just focusing on your heart, for instance.
Still with Liesl's little trinket in my
hand. You would wash your hands first if you really want clear information, and you would put those trinkets into your hand. You would close your eyes. You would first meditate, ask for help from above, that your channeling is clear, or that you stay clear, that you stay protected. I use a lot the Yabes prayer for protection and for general, you know, not causing havoc. Mm-hmm. Out there and for anybody. And then you would close your eyes and you would see what information comes through by feeling it, by getting the impression of it, and then you get pictures. Depends on where you're strong, in what sense you're strong. Some people will get tastes, or they will suddenly see images or symbols, or they would just get the feelings if they're stronger in their feelings, in their psychicness. And as you practice that, the better you get.
So you can be wrong the first time and the second time.
Oh, you can be very wrong initially, but you will pick up stuff, more right stuff, if you've already meditated or you use prayer and rituals as a regular thing, which more and more people use. So,
When is it appropriate to go looking for information about someone?
Depends if somebody asks you. And you want to help them in a different way. You can say, give this to me. I practice this, or I try this. And doing it with a friend, or saying, give me some information, or what do you pick up here? It can be initially a bit of a game, but inverted commas, because I learned hard lessons by doing this as a party game, because it's not a party game. You know, one doesn't play around with information where in the end you say to somebody, oh my God, you're going to have cancer if you're not careful. And, you know, that's not a party game. So it's not a party game. It needs to be respected and it needs to be sacred, and you don't mix it with alcohol and drugs. So, yes, you need to have a clear life. I don't eat a lot of red meat. I feel the fear of the animal that dies. I try and live clean.
Okay.
Clear, solid, so that you don't interfere into energies, for instance, with alcohol.
Okay. We have to unfortunately leave it there, because you just opened that tap now, but that tap has to close.
I have about 700 more questions, so I do think we'll have to ask you back. Yeah, I'm not even going to start on those questions because Palesa is sitting here with a very long ruler and she's going to beat me over the head. So I think from me, Liesl, Tom, thank you very much.
Thanks for listening. It was a pleasure.
Go well.
Thank you.
And also from me, Shemaine Harris. Marietta, thank you so much for being here.
It was nice meeting you again.
All right.
Yes, thank you very much. Thank you. Bye-bye. CliffCentral.com.